Hello, how are we? So today I'm coming back with an episode on how I got to a good place with my body image and a place of acceptance. So this is something that you might be able to use for yourself. If you're a coach, you might be able to help your clients by listening to this. But there's a few other things before we get to that I actually wanted to address. I'm sitting in my bed right now recording this, and I'm so grateful that I just even get to speak, and I get to do it from my bed and the comfort of my home right now. Because I'm after hitting such a slump and I can feel my energy is just a bit off. I probably need a big cry. I've had a lot going on over the last week. Sadly, my nanny passed away. And to be honest, that's actually it's the first time that I've experienced death close to me. And you know, I never really thought about death too much. And sorry, I'm not going to get too morbid on you guys, but I never really thought about death too much up until that point. And yeah, I had seen her the night before, and then last Tuesday, I had went over to see her. Something just told me to go see her. And I didn't realize that obviously that would be the last time I seen her. And yeah, I went, I feel myself getting a bit emotional. Sorry, I needed to take a second there. But then the next morning, she passed away. And so that was Wednesday morning. And it was actually Ash Wednesday, which I thought was quite beautiful, because she was definitely a woman of faith. She was always going to mass. She was always praying. She was always just a very holy woman. It's funny because I literally just said at the start of this that I probably needed a big cry. And sometimes, you know, when you can't cry, sometimes you need something to trigger it. And that might be talking to your best friend. That might be speaking out loud about something. And it makes you tear up and it makes you cry. It happens so many times in Soulful Sunday, which I think is also very beautiful that people have a place to express themselves. But anyways, I wasn't even planning on doing this episode. And yeah, it just came into my mind and something obviously told me to do it. But anyways, it has triggered a bit of emotion in me, which I think is great, because it allows me then to obviously just have a cry and release it. And yeah, please don't view crying as a negative thing, by the way. Yeah, I never actually really thought about death until that moment that I was like, wow, how wild is it that somebody has their spirit, their soul, they have their personality, and then the next minute they're gone. And that was just really hard to comprehend, and I still haven't comprehended it. Like I said, I never really thought about death because I've never experienced it really close to me. So that has been playing on my mind the last week. They always say death brings you closer to your family and stuff like that. And I definitely think I was more connected than I ever have been to my family last. However, I also think social media plays a part in that. I wasn't active on social media really at all. And for me, social media is a big part of my life. I won't deny that. I won't deny that I'm, you know, sometimes in the morning I wake up and I look at my phone first thing. I don't have my routine down to a T. And I definitely don't have boundaries down to a T when it comes to social media. And I just realized how disconnected I can be from those around me, because a lot of my life, I'm not even going to say unfortunately, because I am so grateful for it, but a lot of my life is based around posting, getting content up, getting videos up. And you know yourself, some days, I'm sure it's the same for anybody who has to go into a physical workplace as well, or anybody else who works from home or for themselves, there is just days that you just don't want to show up. And yeah, I just think that was what I was experiencing last week, but it came at such a beautiful time as well, because like I said, I just felt so much more connected to those around me. And I think if anything, that's the most important thing ever. But I also got an interesting question last week that I kind of wanted to touch a little bit just on my coaching. Not trying to sell my coaching, but I do think sometimes people can look at my page and it is very much relationship of food based and emotional based, and emotional isn't even a word, sorry. It is a word, but what the context I use it in there wasn't a word. But it's very emotion based and how you feel and connecting with your body and expressing yourself and all of that. So people can think that, you know, what will I actually get if I was to sign up with Kira? And it's funny because most of my clients actually do come to me for fat loss, and I'm not anti-fat loss by any means. I'm only anti-fat loss, let's just say, when it comes to somebody who has a really bad relationship with food, who's binging each week. Then they have to focus on repairing their relationship with food, and then they can achieve fat loss. So that's the only thing with my coaching, is it's completely dependent on the person and where they're at and what they want to achieve for themselves. But there's so many of my clients right now who are going after fat loss and are smashing their goals out of park, whether that be running, training wise, grown muscle. Like, I still work with all of those clients. I just am heavily focused with regards to, if somebody comes to me, like, my niche right now is relationship with food. So I know that, like, in someone's head who's struggling with a relationship with food, they hopefully will know my name by now, because I am somebody who always talks about that just because it's so important to me. But of course, if you're looking to achieve fat loss or anything like that, or you're wondering about training programs, you still get a training program with me. You still get everything that you would get with a coach, but you just get relationship with food as well if you are really struggling with your relationship with food. So yeah, that's kind of my niche at the moment. But I just wanted to answer that because I thought it was very important. And some people obviously don't know too much about my coaching. So you do get training, you do get check-ins every single week. If anything, I think my coaching is more hands-on, because especially when someone is struggling with the likes of binging or the relationship with food, I am like kind of there every single day, checking in with them, seeing how they're getting on. Because I do find with something like binging and like working on your relationship with food, whether it means coming out of restriction or away from diet and all of the time, it's very important for me to check in with you literally probably nearly every day or every second day or so, just to see how you're getting on. Because the thoughts that you can have during this journey will always try and drag you back to what's familiar and what's comfortable, and into a place of restriction or into a place of binging. And like, when someone experiences, let's just say, a binge, they need to be able to retrace their steps. And sometimes if you don't have someone checking in on you, you probably won't do that work. Very hands-on. But of course, you also get the other stuff like I just chatted about there. So I also want to, yeah, I just want to answer that. But moving on to the topic of how I got to a good place with my body image. And I had a great chat with actually a new client last night. And she was talking about, you know, experiencing like the binge restrict cycle and like how tiring it is. And like, she has a half marathon coming up and she was thinking about not doing it now because she's just putting so much pressure on herself. And I know it's coming from a place of also her body image. Like, we don't realize how much we tie to our body image. But an interesting thing we were talking about was the fact that like, she doesn't want to be slow, let's just say, in this half marathon. And when we think of slow, I think sometimes we automatically tie that back to our body image and being known like, am I just slow because I'm in a quote unquote bigger body, let's just say. And yeah, you just don't realize how much you tie your body image to literally every single thing you do. And I just want anybody who's listening to this to know that it is possible to get to a place where you don't always just think about food, calories, losing weight, being the smallest version of yourself, not binging, how to get out of cycle, and just like that constant back and forth. Like, I remember, it's been so long for me, honestly, I'm not even gonna lie, but I remember how tired I was all of the time, specifically more so in the binging cycle, because it's so much mental stress on you. Restrictive eating for me was still very stressful, but I won't lie, I was getting a lot of validation from it. I was getting like self-worth hits every single day because of everything I was doing. I thought I was the most disciplined person in the world and I thought I was the best, and like, and that's not even me lying, that's genuinely how I thought about myself. Like, it gave me such a confidence boost. So I can understand why someone would want to stay in the restrictive eating cycle, because it does give you a lot of validation. It only gets to a point then when it's actually really starting to take away from your life, and that's obviously the point that I got to. Then I ended up burning out and I was so bloody tired all of the time. But at the start it was great and I loved it. But binging, on the other hand, there was never a period that I actually ever thought was great or I ever enjoyed. It was always so draining. It was always taken away from my emotional, mental and physical health. But yeah, I just, like I said, sometimes I forget what it's actually like to be in that journey, and then I always talk to my clients and I'm just like so reminded of it. And I know how tough it can be, and I know sometimes when you're in it you always think that your body image is the issue, and I understand, because I blamed my body for so long. And I always thought that, like, what most people who are struggling with binging think is that, okay, if I just fix my body, if I just get to a skinnier body, I won't be binging anymore, because they genuinely believe that their body image is the problem. But your body image is made up of how you think and feel about it. So does that make sense? So your body image, think of how much it changes each day, okay? Some days, I'm not gonna lie, I wake up and I'm like, love what I see in the mirror. Some days I don't. But the only difference now is that I don't give it so much airtime. Whereas when people wake up and they don't like what they see, they freak the fuck out and they're like, oh my God, and they attach it to their self-worth, and they, you know, they just attach it to so many different things. And sometimes as well, if the only place that you're thinking you're worthy from is based on your appearance. You're always going to be fluctuating. You're always going to feel down. You're always going to be giving out yourself. You're always going to be speaking negatively to yourself because your worth is fluctuating on a day-to-day basis along with your body image. Whereas if your worth is based internally on who you are at the core, it can't fluctuate because who you are at the core is who you are at the core. Whereas when it's based on something external, like a body image, it fluctuates all the time. Like if I don't bloody go to the toilet, I don't feel great. If I haven't drank enough water, I don't feel great. But just on getting to a good place with my body, is it always started slow, but it really did improve for me when I started working on my relationship with food. The two of them go quite hand in hand. And I found repairing my relationship with food, learning how to rest, learning how to listen to my body was so important. Because if you're not listening to your body, you're never honoring your body. And if you're not honoring your body, how do you expect to ever get to a place of acceptance with your body? You can't get to a place of acceptance with something that you're not listening to. Does that make sense? So just bear that in mind as well. Like that'll be something that'll be so crucial for you, is that you need to learn to honor what your body needs. And a lot of the times we actually need to learn how to rest. This society honestly is built on how productive you are, and if every hour of your like day is not filled with something, then you're a worthless piece of shit. And that's something that I still battle with. Like I'm not gonna sit here and act like I'm on my high horse, and I don't, but genuinely, like, I have found that ingrained into me. So learning to rest, learning to honor your body, focusing then on what my body image, or not my body image, sorry, focus on what my body. So I transitioned over into CrossFit, and I'm not saying everybody has to do that. You definitely don't have to. And especially if you're more, sometimes it really does depend. I hate that word, you know, when people are just like, it depends, but it genuinely does depend on where you're at, where your relationship with food. So some people actually, the worst thing that they can do for themselves is probably put them into something like CrossFit or HIIT workouts every single day. But for me, it was a great step for me and my body image, because it allowed me to focus on not how my body looked, but what it could do. And then I transitioned into this like whole like strong girl era, and I was like feeling super strong, and I was loving that. And then, like I said, repaired my relationship with food, focused on what my body could do. But to be quite honest, it's only over the last year that I have really and truly got to a place of acceptance. Like when I first went to Bali, I battled with my body image a lot, and I did put on a good bit of weight the first time I went to Bali. But that was the best thing that probably ever happened to me, because I've spoken about this in other podcasts, but I was going through so much of my own personal journey, aside from, like I said, relationship with food and body image, of like focusing on healing my emotions and my patterns, and just how I thought about myself, and like my childhood, my inner child. I was focusing on all of that, like, it actually took my focus off of my body image. So when I was putting on the weight, I wasn't moving much, to be quite honest with you, in Bali, because you can barely walk over there. So I wasn't moving much. I was training like once a day. I didn't really want to go out on walks and stuff. And that was just kind of the period of my life that I was going through. But I never rushed to diet. I never rushed into it. I didn't diet at all. And the weight kind of just gradually came off when I came home from Bali. But that was such a period of my life that I was just able to kind of sit there and accept it for what it was. And I don't know if that's a case of also just being out of environments and different environments that aren't just solely focused on how you look. I think that's so important, but also relationships that absolutely nourish you. Like I was surrounded by some of the best people that always ate out, and like they didn't comment on their body. They weren't thinking about their body image all of the time. And if I was around that, I was just able to check in with myself. Like I had done, I personally feel, enough work up until that point that I was able to just check in and like challenge my own thoughts. And if somebody was around me who was picking their body apart, because that can have a triggering effect on, you know, if you're working on your body image and someone's always picking themselves apart, that can be triggering for you when you're going through this. But I feel like I was out of that period already by the point, like, well, like a good bit out of that period by the time I got to Bali. So I was just kind of able to check in with myself and, you know, challenge those thoughts. And that's going to be a big thing for anybody who is working on this right now, is learning to challenge your beliefs and your thoughts. It is so important that you sit down with a bloody journal and you write out all of the things that you genuinely believe. Like a lot of people, when I ask them, especially clients I've worked on, they're like, I just want to be, you know, fit and healthy. But I'm like, okay, well, list me what list me all of the characteristics of someone who's fit and healthy. And literally every characteristic that they listed was nothing got to do with body image, but how they were able to perform, what they'd done on a day-to-day basis, how they feel their body, which is the complete opposite of just solely focusing on your body image. And most people don't realize it, but you're running around with these beliefs in your head, and you know, you think they're absolute truth until somebody sits down on the other side of the table and just questions you on them. And that's what I think a big part of my coaching is that people genuinely come to me and they think they have it all figured out, and they think they know exactly what they want for their life and they want for their body and their food and whatever else. And then when I question them on it, they're like, actually, yeah, you know, you're right. Simple question of like, what does confidence mean to you? And I can guarantee when you ask yourself that as you're listening to me right now, ask yourself, what does confidence mean to you? Let whatever first comes to mind come into your mind, because I can guarantee for me, when I see confidence, I'm like, it's a woman. I see a woman who can carry herself well, who can walk into a room and own that room, not in a cocky way, but in a way she knows herself. She knows her place. She knows the value that she adds to the world. She knows what she brings to the table. That to me is true confidence. I don't think of, when I hear confidence, I don't think of a woman who's ripped and has a six pack and controls every area of their life with regards to food and body. That's not confidence to me at all. And I think if you just question yourself on confidence, because most people will say to you, I want more confidence. But what does confidence actually look like to you? Because you're so, and I know it is society as well, it's not just you. So have compassion for yourself, because I see it. Coaches are selling you these things of like, you know, you want to be confident in your bikini. And I get it. All of us want to feel good in our skin, which I will touch on now in a second. But people are selling you these things of like, you know, don't wait until it's too late and you won't feel confident in your bikini. And it's like, oh my God, just shut up for a second. Like, if you really knew what confidence meant, you wouldn't be selling that to people. And I'm so passionate about this because genuinely, there's so many other ways that you can be confident in yourself that doesn't involve also being super controlling with your food. Am I saying, like, see my language there? I didn't say it doesn't involve fat loss. For some of us, fat loss is a necessary part of our journey. And that is going to be a part of your equation of, let's just say, being a little bit more confident. But I know many, many women who are in quote unquote bigger bodies who are super confident and are even more confident than me. And it's truly inspiring. But am I sitting here saying that you shouldn't care about your weight if, you know, it's completely taken away from your life? Absolutely not. This is for the people who their body image is taking up way too much space, way too much time. That's who this is for. And like I said, fat loss might be a necessary part for you. But confidence and feeling like, so a lot of people say to themselves, I'm not feeling comfortable in your body. And that's something that people who struggle with binging battle with a lot. But what I always say to them is, just in this particular moment, when you're feeling uncomfortable in your skin, what can we do to make you feel a little bit more comfortable? Like, fat loss isn't a bad thing. And for someone who's struggling with binging and is in, like I said, their weight is completely taken over or taken away from their life, eventually they are going to have to achieve fat loss, let's just say. But right now we need to focus on repairing their relationship with food, because people think if I just get into a skinnier body, I'll stop binging. But that isn't actually the case. You need to remember that binging is a coping mechanism. It's not just because you're in a bigger body. It's a coping mechanism for you dealing with difficult emotions on a day-to-day basis. So that's why you actually turn to food, is because it's a coping mechanism. It's a pattern within your body. So when you have something difficult come up that isn't, like, let's just say I put you in a skinnier body right now and you're someone who battles with binging. If I put you in a skinnier body, that doesn't take away from the fact that you still have a difficult time just dealing with the thoughts in your head. You have a difficult time not turning to food every time you feel down or lonely. That's nothing got to do with your body image. They're actual emotions that you're feeling. So that's the difficult part that people also need to realize, is that it doesn't just come from quote-unquote fixing your body. So if you are struggling with feeling comfortable in your body, ask, writing a list of things that make you feel comfortable in yourself. Sometimes we go out of our way to make ourselves feel uncomfortable, just so we can then prove ourselves right. Of like, especially, again, I see this a lot with clients that are struggling with binging. They will go out of their way to make themselves feel uncomfortable in their body, so that way they can validate that it is a body image issue. And if they just felt comfortable, they wouldn't then turn to food, because when they feel uncomfortable, they end up binging. So it's asking yourself, what makes you feel comfortable? Like, I know, you know, getting into my bed in a cozy tracksuit makes me feel super, super comfortable. Wearing clothes that make me feel comfortable, I love that. Then the next thing was realizing my worth will never come from fixing my body. Like, I have got to very lean stages and still felt shit about myself. Still didn't know how to handle my head. Still didn't know how to handle handle the negative self-talk, still couldn't fill the voids within myself that I was already feeling. And sometimes this can be the best thing that's going to release you from all of the body image things. It's just realizing that there's no body on this earth. I've gone through many stages of getting lean, putting on weight, getting lean, putting on weight. And none of them gave me any more worth than the other one. If anything, I found more worth and peace within my own head when I stopped trying to find my worth in how I looked and started focusing on who Kira actually was and what she brought to the table, and focusing, like I said earlier, focusing on what my body could do, knowing my values. I don't know who I totally am, to be quite honest with you, but I definitely know more about myself, and it is about focusing on my capabilities, my strengths. And to be honest, just removing myself totally from the whole body image side of things and knowing that that's not where I'm ever going to find any sort of worth from. Because like I said earlier in this podcast, it's always going to change because it's based. If I found my worth, which I did for a long time, found my worth just based on how I look, it was always fluctuating. I was never satisfied. I was always up and down, up and down, up and down with it, because it was, like I said, it was always fluctuating. And as a woman, girls, you know how much you fluctuate on a day-to-day basis. Like, it's incredible. Think of that, like you're playing around literally just with a roller coaster with regards to your work. So that's just something to bear in mind. And then I mentioned it already just there, but my values. So knowing who, like, what I value. And a lot of the times when I actually don't out my values, I didn't actually value anything that came with being the most smallest version of myself, which was a lot of like restriction, a lot of training. Like, if I really wanted to be the smaller version of myself right now and get to such a tiny stage, I would have to go through a lot of restriction. I would have to go through a lot of training, a lot of cardio. And to be quite honest with you, I don't enjoy that. Like, that, it doesn't bring me, like, I love my CrossFit style training and stuff like that, but thought of like having to go out all of the time and really be so careful with my steps and my food, it doesn't bring any peace to me. It's not something I want for myself at all. And just knowing, standing firm in your boundaries is so important for you on this journey, because you can be so swayed by social media and what you see. And sometimes, like, everybody's doing something these days, and sometimes you think to yourself, should I be doing that, should I be doing that? And I remember I made the mistake last year. It wasn't really a mistake, like, I learned from it, but we came home from Bali and one of my friends was like wanting to do a half marathon, and myself and Hannah signed up for it. And I just knew, like, I have already done a marathon and I've already done like plenty of half marathons, and that's not me sounding like a cock. It's just me, I just want to show you the example of doing something that isn't aligned with you, and you only done it because other people were doing it. So I knew, hand on heart, I was going through so much when I came home from Bali that I was in no right frame of mind to be going out running bloody 15 and 18k. It was only adding more stress to my life. But I ignored what my gut was telling me. I ignored every part of my body and what my body was trying to tell me. From all of the previous runs that I had done, it was actually putting me in a worse mood than it was, you know, the way, like, usually you finish a run. Like, nowadays I finish a run and I'm buzzing with it. Whereas back then in the summer, like, this is only last summer, by the way, I wasn't buzzing. I was actually in a worse mood because of it. And that was a big telltale sign to me that I wasn't doing something for me. I was doing it because other people wanted me to do it. And I thought it was basically good for my ego. It was filling my ego. If I could just get across this, you know, line again and get the medal and whatever else, it was a great ego boost. I don't want to sound like that is a bad thing, because I'm doing high rocks now and that's probably filling my ego, but I don't care because I actually do enjoy it. Whereas last year I wasn't enjoying it at all. So when it came to doing the marathon then, my body just like completely backtracked. I think I had an injury of some sort and I just pulled out, and I was like, I instantly felt better. And I remember vividly meeting the girls, like, I think they were already like 12k in or something, and I'd done like the last maybe 8k with them. And I'm not even joking, girls, I felt so much lighter and better in myself. I was fucking buzzing on the run, and I hadn't been buzzing in weeks on a run, and I was so happy to just be there with them. But that was because I removed the pressure of doing something that was not aligned with me whatsoever. My body gave me all of the signs, it gave me all of the injuries, it gave me all of the mental stress that came with it, it gave me all of the heaviness. So this is a big thing as well. If you feel like, this is totally off topic of body image, right, but if you feel heavy after something, like energy wise, like really drained, really down, it's usually a telltale sign that that's not for you, or something isn't aligned it isn't the line there. That's kind of what happened to me last year. But how did we actually get onto this topic? I don't really remember. But that's just maybe, yeah, sorry, I was talking about social media and doing things because you see it on social media. You will be given all the signs. Like, if it's right for you, you will know, you will feel it in your body. Everything might feel, I'm not going to say it's going to feel easy because you have to do hard things in life, okay? But it's going to feel somewhat enjoyable, you know, to some extent, okay? Like, going out for a run all the time for me isn't absolutely the best thing ever. But at some, like, it's not taken away from my life and I'm actually walking away in better moods and not worse moods. Also, that's another way to honor your body, is just listening to what your body is trying to tell you, your gut feelings, trusting yourself a little bit more. But there's just some of the ways that I did get to a place of acceptance. And to be quite honest, and this is not me just making this up, I have, like, but honestly, I haven't thought about, like, food and, like, calories and all of that and, like, losing weight and being so tired and drained by those thoughts in a very, very long time. Like, when I was talking to that client last night, I just forgot, because it's been so long that I have ever thought. And I've seen TikToks as well. People are like, I can't remember the last time I didn't think about losing weight. And honestly, that's one thing that I do remember from my journey, is that I was always on my head. It was always on my brain. Whereas now, I don't even think about it at all. And that's not to say I don't ever have those thoughts. Like, every couple of months, I might turn around to Hannah and be like, oh, maybe I could lose a bit of weight. And then I just, like, let it go. And I'm just like, all right, whatever. Like, if I really want to do that, I will do that. But 9 times out of 10, like, I don't really ever want to do it, because I'm quite happy. Like, my body always really stays the same because I train and I eat relatively the same. Sometimes, probably every weekend, I might go over my calories just because I'm eating out or something like that. But to me, I stay fairly, like, I stay at maintenance, like, majority of the time around the year. So, yeah, I just think, for me, I just want you to know, like, that it is totally possible from a girl who genuinely was on the verge of anorexia and then struggle with binge eating disorder. Like, it is so possible to get to a place where you don't even really have those thoughts anymore, at all. And I know people say that this is something you'll always battle with for the rest of your life, but it's not something that you battle with every single day. Like, don't get me wrong, there's been times where, let's just say I'm having a really bad weekend of eating shit food, I might by the end of the weekend be like, oh, like, you know, would you go for a run in the morning? And I'm like, that just doesn't faze me anymore. I'm like, here, stop it. Don't be so silly. And I know that that's just an older past version of myself coming true. And then I just shut down and I get on with my day. But that's what it's like. That's what I personally think people are talking about when they say you always live with it. That's what my version of always living with it is. It's like probably having one thought and a blue moon about my body image or food, or if something is bad, quote unquote bad for me. But I just want you to know that it's totally possible to get to a place of acceptance with your body, even though right now it might feel so far for you. It is possible. And if you put the work in now, and if you do it because, like, you don't want to, genuinely, I wish someone had told me this, but, like, you don't want to spend the rest of your life so drained and so tired and realize that the only thing you thought about in your 20s was losing weight and being the smallest version of yourself and food and calories and binging. There is more to your life, and I want you to know that. It doesn't mean fat loss can never be a thing. It doesn't mean that you can't ever achieve fat loss. If anything, it'll actually make it easier for you to achieve those things if you have a good relationship with food and you have a good relationship with your body image. It makes things 10 times easier. But I just want you to know that it is possible to overcome this. It is possible to get out of it. It is possible to also get to a place of acceptance, speaking from someone who genuinely is at a place of acceptance with their body. Also, not to say that I don't ever have bad body image days, because I definitely do. But yeah, I definitely have thoughts of, like, oh, there's some belly rolls. And then I'm just like, who actually cares? Like, who actually cares? Nobody cares. Okay? So that's just another thing I wanted to bring you. That's just another thing I wanted to tell you, is that no one really actually cares other than yourself. But of course, if you need a bigger chat on this, if you need any help with regards to your body image, please just drop me a message. I'd be more than happy to help. I do have some coaching spaces as well available. So if you would like to work with me, you can always just, again, drop me a message and find out more. I always get on a call as well. I think I mentioned this last time, but I always get caught on a call with my clients to just kind of go through and see if we'd actually be a good fit and see if you actually like my coaching. But that's everything for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, and please do let me know any feedback, or if you do listen to this, please do drop me a message. I have been getting a couple of messages off girls who are listening to the episode. So just know, girls, I really, really appreciate it. You owe me nothing. And I'm so grateful for people who genuinely take time out of their day to listen to a podcast or shoot me a message. So thank you genuinely so much.